This is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
Tech Webcast, streamed from our brains to our mouths, to your ears, to your brain. It's like our brains are holding hands, brain hands. That doesn't really make sense, but Tech Webcast does. Tech stuff, gadgets, games. Come and wander around geek heaven with us. Tech Webcast, here, now, holding brain hands.
And welcome to episode 275 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 8th of February 2014. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday and rebroadcast on Aussie Tech Heads on Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Please rate us on iTunes and like us at facebook.com/techwebcast. And your hosts today are Brad, Steve, Jen, Paul and myself, Andrew. And we have a very special guest today, Stephen Haywood from the Tech Buzz. G'day, Brad. How are you, mate?
G'day, Andrew. How are you, mate?
I am very good on this Tech Hands Tech Webcast Day.
It is a very hands approach podcast.
Very much. Cool little new intro there. Loving it.
Yeah, Jennifer requested that, so I said, sure, I'll play it.
Very good.
How's your week been, mate?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty busy. We're working on a number of things with the app that I've got. So there's a lot happening, and yeah, just trying to get ready for South by Southwest at the start of March. So yeah, lots of busy things, but it's all good stuff.
Good stuff, mate. Can't wait for that. I also got on from Getting Any With It. Welcome, Jennifer.
Hi. Thank you for doing that awesome intro. I'm so glad that you played it with the brain hands. We're holding brain hands. I've never held brain hands before.
Me either.
I don't know
what that means. Paul, welcome back, mate.
Oh, hey. Good. That didn't go well. I'm here. I'm focused now.
You got a good phone?
It's on the way. It's one of those red Nexus 5s.
Oh, my God. And okay.
Nice,
dude.
I'm excited for you.
All I heard was rednex. I'm thinking, hang on, you got a rednex phone? Can you say that on radio?
Redneck radio, yeah. Steve, wait, mate. Well, happy birthday for tomorrow, by the way, too.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Awesome.
And, hey, how's your week been, mate?
Oh, it's been pretty good. A little bit busy. Trying to. It's like for the last 2 days, I've been getting my own show ready and then looking at some of the news stories for your show, so trying to get all that inputted for today.
Good stuff. And how's your week been, Jennifer? I forgot to ask you.
Oh, my week has been wonderful. It has been really eventful in regards to work and a lot of good stuff happening right now with work. So great week. Thank you.
Good stuff. And how's your podcast?
You know, I ended up taking off this week and we're starting back up next week, mainly because I was really swamped with my job that pays money. So, and that takes precedence, you know. So
that's always inconvenient.
Right.
I like money too.
I know you know what I mean.
Yep. I've got Steve from the Tech Buzz. Welcome, Steve.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me.
Good stuff, mate. What have you been up to last time we spoke?
Just busy studio upgrades, work, the whole nine, you know.
All right, nice. You got a new show coming on, mate?
Yeah, I have a new show coming up. We don't have a launch date for it, but it's something that a bunch of people have been asking me to do, and I've just been looking for the right person to co-host it with me, and I fortunately I found them. So I don't know how it's going to go off, but we'll see.
What's the name of the show?
Can you tell us what it's called and that sort of stuff?
So I am from Western PA, so we like our guns out here, and we like to hunt, and we like to fish, and that sort of thing. And so, the guys that I hang out with a lot, they're like, don't take your guns, my constitutional right. So we actually created a show called My Constitutional Right. And so basically the whole show is about just educating people Letting people know why they need to vote and why they should pay attention to politics and why things happen in the world the way they do, and cut through all the BS that some of the other folks are putting out there and all the conspiracy theories, and present some facts and give people proof to back that stuff up and kind of go down. It's a huge political show. So if you're not a politics fan, it's not a show for you.
All right.
That'd be a really interesting concept as a show, actually. I mean, you see that sort of stuff, and as you said, Steve, with, you know, hey, don't take my guns, and you see that like in a 5-minute YouTube often enough, but it's not often that you actually get a show that's a vehicle where you can sort of revisit it every week or every month or whatever and go through what was said and then follow up that and have someone else on. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, what we're looking to do is to get local senators and congressmen and invite them. I've talked to a few of them and they were talking about coming on the show. So I think this is a good opportunity for folks, because right away, everybody's ready to blame and hang a congressman or hang somebody that they really don't know what they're thinking. So basically give them a platform to explain themselves in a no bullcrap, scenario, and basically allow people to really ask them questions and drill them, kind of like the hot seat, so to speak. So, I don't know. We're gonna try and see how it goes, and we'll see where it goes from there.
All right, let's jump to the news, and Jennifer, we'll come back and have a chat with Steve.
All right, let's get into the news. The first story is coming from Engadget, and it is about Comcast. Comcast is bringing its online Olympics coverage to Xfinity TV subscribers. So, you know, by its nature, conventional TV offers limited coverage of large sports events such as the Olympics. But Comcast is actually providing that coverage of the Sochi Olympics to its Xfinity TV subscribers. So if you are a Comcast user and you have Xfinity TV, you are in great shape. Moving on to the next story. Another one from Engadget, and this is about Android. Android search update lets you pick video on-demand providers in Google Now. So there has been a software update to Google Now that rolled out, and it they're calling it kind of a bug fix, but I'd never noticed this particular buzz, but I guess we'll talk about this after the news. But anyway, so they fixed their Google Now in regards to telling you the different TV shows that are on and the on-demand providers. So they also added a few other tweaks in the latest Google Now update. So if you haven't noticed it yet, be certain to check it out. And if you're not using Google Now and you're an Android user, you're missing out. You really need to check out Google Now. All right, moving right along to the next story by Mac Rumors. Apple fuels iWatch rumors by seeking exercise physiologists to lead fitness tests. So Apple is looking to hire an exercise physiologist to oversee cardiovascular fitness and energy expenditure tests at its main headquarters. And this new position was posted on the job board this past Thursday. And I'll read the position. It sounds like an awesome role. I wish that I had these qualifications. But it says, design and run user studies related to cardiovascular fitness and energy expenditure, including calories burned, metabolic rate, aerobic fitness level, measurement, and tracking, and other key physiological measurements. Candidate will be knowledgeable about the physiological effects being measured and how to avoid potential inaccuracy and experimental error due to DOE flaws and or reference monitor, i.e. metabolic cart, etc., usage issues. The role will need to apply relevant knowledge to the design of products and their testing / validation through their user studies. So judging by this, it sounds like they're hiring someone to come on board to, get the iWatch ready, right? And then also recently they hired the sleep expert, Roy Raymond, from Philips, and Michael O'Reilly, who was a chief medical officer from Pulse and they brought them on board as well. In addition, Tim Cook was hiring, let me see, who was it here? Oh, it was the former Yves Saint Laurent CEO, Paul Deneve. And, you know, so if you're hiring somebody like Yves Saint Laurent, a CEO from there, then, you know, they're interested in something with fashion. So it all kind of comes together, and hence we're expecting an iWatch. All right, moving right along, and then we'll talk about that story afterwards. Next story comes from Mac Rumors. iOS 7.1 Beta 5 came out this past Tuesday, February 4th. And this is the fifth version of iOS 7.1. They did tweak a few things, such as the keyboard. They fixed the shift on the keyboard. They made it so that you could purchase albums in iTunes Radio. Siri has some new voices. They have a new Australian voice. They have a new United Kingdom voice. They have a Japanese and a new Chinese voice. There's some calendar fixes, some AirDrop changes, and they fixed the iOS 7 jailbreak issue. So it looks like we'll be seeing that maybe, probably sometime in March, we're hoping. And moving right along, this story comes from TV Tonight, and it is about Melbourne's, that they need, Melbournians, they say here, need to retune their TVs, and Sydney will be up next. So this happened this past February 6th. The story came out saying that on the 7th that they'll have to retune their television sets as the final part of the switch to digital television. The government is reallocating spectrum to be used for other services such as mobile broadband, which means that channels will be moving. So viewers will need to retune their digital TVs, set-top boxes, or digital TV recorders on or after the retune date in their area. The retune has been rolling out around the country for some time, and has worked. It is carried out on the transmission towers. So now it's Melbourne's turn, so this just happened, and then Sydney will be affected on March 18th. And moving right along to the next story, coming from mumbrella.com.au, Quick Flix hires new business development manager. The movie streaming company Quick Flix hired Mark Ritchie, who is a former sales and development manager for Bauer Media Group, as its new business development manager. So looks like he'll bring a lot of experience after 14 years of media experience. He has a wealth of knowledge and skills, and they're looking forward to him bringing that talent to Quick Flix. And moving right along to the next story from The Verge, Apple removes last remaining Bitcoin trading app from the App Store. They've been slowly removing apps, Bitcoin apps, that is, from the App Store. And yesterday, it removed an app that they say was the last one. The name of the app is Blockchain, and it has been in the Apple Store for a couple of years, and they're quite upset that Apple has removed them, saying that they are demonstrating anti-competitive and capricious nature of App Store policies, and that they are clearly focused on preserving Apple's monopoly on payments rather than based on any consideration of the needs and desires of their users. So they're basically saying that they don't want any competition out there. They're maybe rolling out a new payment product themselves, which is why they're pulling all the Bitcoin apps. And the final story coming from Engadget, Steve Wozniak thinks that Apple should build an Android smartphone. Yes, in an interview with Wired at the Apps World North America conference, Steve Wozniak revealed that his belief that Apple should create a phone that uses Google's Android operating system. According to him, he says, there is nothing that would keep Apple out of the Android market as a secondary phone market. We could play in two arenas at the same time. So that would be quite interesting if they were to actually follow suit and do something like that. Of course, this is just Woz saying this, and there's no talk of Apple building an Android device. And that wraps it up for the news, Brad.
Great stuff, Jennifer. Paul, what's your view on them stories?
With that last one, just thinking of the over the years, the relationship they've had with Google, Apple, I don't see them actually wanting to, have a phone that actually essentially gives money to the competition.
Mm.
I don't think they would build an iPhone with Android.
I think that would be
attached to it.
Really stupid that, if they did,
it would just be weird.
It would be very weird, very weird indeed. I reckon
it just feel like one of those, those Chinese knockoff ones that basically look like an iPhone, but they got Android on them.
Yeah, yeah.
that's what it would feel like to me, anyway. But
I agree with you.
Yeah. So. also with that Siri stuff, how they're adding new voices? I think they should go the route of, how TomTom has all these celebrity-type voices as well. Mm-hmm. That you can just download.
That'd be cool.
I have Homer Simpson on my GPS at the moment. I'd love to have it on my iPhone when I open Siri.
Who's on your GPS? Who is it?
Homer Simpson.
Oh, how funny.
Oh, that'd be cool.
I love that idea, Paul. That would be awesome.
Yeah, they're adding all these new ones, but if they add in these options as well, it'd be awesome that you could just have your entire Siri just do that, which would be awesome.
Nice one. All right, any other views, Paul, you want to mention?
No, that's pretty much it for now.
What about you, Andrew? What's your view on these stories, man?
Yeah, it's interesting with the iWatch and Steve Wozniak talking about, Android should do a watch.
Mm.
I don't know if it's just me, but I don't see a watch as being something that's going to be that big of a deal. I can understand if you want to pair your watch to your phone, maybe. So it says, hey, you've got a notification. But for the most part, my phone beeps when that happens anyway, so I kind of know. And then you're going to have two things beeping, like I've got my iPad, my phone at home, and one of them beeps and the other one beeps. I don't think an iWatch is really going to work until we've got the real estate to put something interesting on them. I mean, we had these tiny Nokia phones, which we thought were great, and we kept making them smaller until we realized all of a sudden that we actually need a landscape. We need some real estate on these handsets to make them usable. So then we made them bigger, and then we had the iPhone 4. We made it bigger again, and we had the iPhone 5. And then Android HTC, Samsung came out and made it even bigger again. But now we've got this mentality that we can go and turn all of this back into a watch with a quarter of the size screen, and it's going to be adopted. I can sort of see Google Glass, because you've got that sort of hologram in front of you. But until you've got a watch where you can click a button and it pops out with a hologram that's 10 inches wide in front of you, I don't see that the watch is going to be that useful. That's right. Just me personally.
Any other answers about the other stories, Andrew? You want to mention?
Melbourne hasn't yet. We're still running our normal digital. We haven't had to do a retune as yet. And unrelated, but Steve Wozniak was mentioned, his dog died during the week.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah, who he's had since 1998. So commiserations there. Apparently he's doing good and the dog lived a good solid life, and that's what happens. But yeah, so there you go. Steve Wozniak's dog, known as Zed, passed away.
That's not good. What breed of dog was it,
I have no idea. Well, I know it was a dog.
That's not good. Cool. I hope that stuff happens. Steve, the Tech Buzz, what about you? What's your view on that, on these stories?
So initially I was excited about Apple with the iWatch, and I know a lot of people aren't too sure about this wearable tech, but ever since being a Nexus 5 user and not looking back the first time ever on an Android device and getting a Pebble watch, I have no desire to buy an iWatch, because switching back and forth between Google and Apple devices, I want something that I can use with either platform. If Apple makes an iWatch, you're locked to their ecosystem, and it's something that doesn't appeal to me. They can make it the most spectacular watch ever, but somebody like myself who's in all the ecosystems, I don't want to be locked and groped by Apple like that. I don't.
Yeah, I agree with that, because I have a Pebble Watch and I love swapping between my actual phone's Android and iPhone, and the beauty of it is that you can literally switch between Android and your iPhone without having an issue trying to get a new watch or something like that. It just works pretty much.
Oh, it's great, because like if I'm in a meeting or something, I haven't turned my ringer on my phone since my wife got me the watch for Christmas, because I get all the notifications on my watch. It's awesome. Emails come in, text messages come in. I mean, this is the way notifications were meant to be. I mean, honestly, I didn't know how I was going to like it. I thought maybe it was just like that honeymoon phase. It really is. If you haven't had an opportunity to check out a smartwatch, I'd encourage anybody to check one out.
All right. Any other views, Steve, on them stories? Any other stories you want to mention, mate?
No, not really. I think that the last one, just really with Steve Wozniak and Apple building an Android phone, I think that's just asinine. I don't think that'll ever. I think that's Woz's wishful thinking.
It is. I agree. That's just crazy. Yeah. Steve, Chatterbox Live, what about you, mate?
Yeah, same thing with the Apple using the Android operating system. I just don't see them doing it, because, for instance, like on Android, you can sideload software with bypassing the Google Play Store, and that's how malware and viruses get on the Android platform so easy, and it's prevalent there. Something that Apple probably would never allow, and even if they did try to put Android on their iPhone systems or something, they would probably have to fork it off and close it down, because that would affect user experience. So, but I just don't see Apple really doing that at all.
Mm. All right. Is that all you want to say, Steve? Is that it?
Oh, let me see. Oh yeah. I'm kind of waiting for the iWatch as well.
Okay. Good stuff. Good stuff. Okay. What about you, Jennifer? What's your view on them stories?
Well, I'm kind of excited about the iWatch, even though I completely agree with Steve in regards to being locked into the ecosystem. I go back and forth between, you know, I carry a 5S. In addition to that, I carry a couple of Android devices. And I'm always going back and forth between these phones. And you know, so I really would like something that's not locked into an ecosystem. But at the same time, I am a bit of a fangirl. And when Apple provides, you know, creates a beautiful new product, I'm like, ooh, shiny thing, let me go buy that. So, you know, I'm kind of excited that they're working on that. I really hope it's a beautiful piece of art, and I'm sure it will be very classy when it comes out. And I think that's what attracts me the most. And hopefully it'll be something innovative. I also agree with Andrew, is that I'm waiting as well for that holographic image to pop out of the watch. That's what I want. And, you know, it'll be a few years down the road before we see something like that. But I certainly hope it's in our lifetime. I'm sure it will be, but, that's definitely what I would like. And then in regards to the retuning, so what's going on in Melbourne?
They're just changing frequencies for radios and stuff, apparently, through different things.
Yeah, basically we had the analog TV, and in Melbourne we're effectively getting rid of analog TV entirely. So you'll need to have a digital tuner in your television. So the old 4:3 TVs, you'll need a digital set-top box to use it. So we're doing away with the analog channel. And the reason for that is because majority of people have digital now anyway, but as soon as they get rid of that analog, that opens up all of those channels for things like, as the news story said, it means that they can use those frequencies for things like internet traffic. Yeah. It gives them a lot more flexibility for services, you know, maybe not ambulance and fire, but other services that aren't quite that important, but may benefit from their own channel. So, you know, when I say channel, I don't mean channel as in sending information to watch on your TV just for the viewers, but actual channel for sending out data and sending out content and so forth. So it just means we'll free up a whole bunch of space on our channel spectrum, and, you know, it gives us the ability then to do other things and become a part of the digital age.
I want a Rage 24/7 music channel, Andrew. You know, Rage.
Again, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
What's up, Paul?
I don't know if I want to watch Rage at that, you know, midday. Rage doesn't quite work for me. Rage for me is sort of like, you know, late at night, you know, you've got a beer in one hand and you've just finished some nachos or something.
Paul, did you check out QuickFlix at all, mate?
Not yet. I haven't got around to looking at QuickFlix yet.
It's going
to
add a story, bad. What do you think about that story about hiring that new guy on there? I think you're going to add some pretty good content.
I hope they do. Like, I want to see them have the amount of content that they have on Netflix. Like, if they have the exact caliber of content, then I may actually make the switch to QuickFlix. But I'm still waiting for that sweet spot for me to go to QuickFlix.
Oh, they're always adding good stuff each week.
Oh, I know. But, you know, I'm waiting till they actually get to that level.
Yeah, yeah.
Before I actually switch.
It kind of depends on licensing, I guess. I mean, obviously we've got a lot less people than America has, so I don't know exactly how it would work, but hopefully the licensing is, you know, based on per capita and all those sorts of things, and we can get a model that works for us, because it would be great if we could have a lot of that content, Paul. Yeah, I agree.
You think Netflix will come to Australia, Paul?
It looks like it. They're discussing it in 2014, but obviously things like Foxtel and all that sort of stuff are complaining to the ACCC to make them, you know, not come into Australia, because that would seriously destroy Foxtel in one swoop.
They would.
They're trying to protect themselves, I would say, at this point.
I agree. I think Foxtel's got the rights to everything, haven't they?
Well, they have no competition, so they can do whatever they like, basically. Yeah.
And I think just quickly, one of the problems with Netflix coming to Australia, as great as it would be, is they could effectively move in here and run at less than profit margin, run at zero, ability, and basically knock, as you just said, Paul, knock Foxtel out of the water. Netflix is still making, you know, bucket loads of money in the States. They knock Foxtel out and then they lift the price up. So it just means they've got all the options in the world. And as you said, Paul, you know, the ACCC need to look at these things and make sure that if they do come here, that they create an environment that's, you know, stable for the existing competition.
Mm.
Yeah.
Good answer, Andrew. And hopefully it will happen one day, but QuickFlix is here, so I'll say use that. Who do we have on today, Andrew, for the guest? Steve from Tech Buzz.
Yeah, what's we up? Do. We've got Steve Haywood here from the Tech Buzz. How are you doing today, Steve?
Hey, Steve, welcome, mate. Good to have you on, buddy.
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me.
No problem. What have you been up to?
Just like we said earlier, I've just been doing some studio overhauls. I was running some SDI cable today and busy with work and all that nonsense.
All right. Any questions, Andrew, for Steve?
Oh, Andrew?
Andrew, are you there? No question.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, sorry. What was that?
Any questions?
I've just been having a look. I just wanted to talk a little bit more about the new show that you've got going on, the political stuff with, as you said, sort of talking about, you know, people's rights to bear arms and, you know, constitutional rights and things like that. Is there any other shows around that sort of go into that kind of depth, and are you getting any sort of media push around that? Are you going to sort of put out some releases and see what comes from that? And when does the actual show start? Do you know a date?
You know, we really haven't gotten a date together just yet. We know we're going to probably start it here in the next couple of weeks, but I don't want people to get the impression that it's just all about a bunch of gun nuts getting together and talking about guns and things like that. It's more or less like, at least here in the States, you know, we get a lot of people that the media has deemed low information voters. And those are people that pay only attention to the presidential candidates in our country. And so if they're registered as a Republican or a Democrat, they'll go into the voting process and they'll vote for their respective party. And they'll just go right down a line without knowing anything about the congressman that they're voting in. And they'll just vote them just because of their, you know, what were their stances, if they're a Republican or a Democrat. And we want to try to encourage voters, instead of getting angry when these congressmen do something that they don't like, to pay more attention at the beginning and see what some of these guys are standing for. And and really get to understand, you know, what the process is all about. Because otherwise you're going to get people in office that in a year or two, you're going to find out that, wow, I really don't want that person here. And so that's kind of like our approach on just about, you know, the whole show. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I just think we've got too much of that here in the, you know, in the United States. I mean, we watch people turn on the president, we watch people turn on congressmen, and I think it's just because people aren't informed and nobody really knows about this stuff. And I'm not saying we have all the answers by any means, don't get me wrong, but I just think it'd be a nice platform for people that really want to learn more about the political side of our country and find out about different things, because I don't have the answers for this, but my co-host that's going to come on, I mean, he lives and breathes this stuff. So I think it's going to be very informative, and I think it's going to be something that is unique, and it's something that I think everybody could weigh in and have their opinion on.
It's going to be really interesting to see where the show actually goes. Obviously, the first few episodes will start to, you know, mold the, I guess, you know, the direction that the show actually takes. So it'll be really interesting to check it out. I'll certainly be listening in.
Yeah, definitely. It's a video version of the Tech Buzz, isn't it, Steve? It's a video podcast.
Yes, it'll be in high def. It'll be available. Yeah, you guys can watch it as well as there'll be audio as well.
Sweet, mate. All right, Chatterbox Live. Any questions for Steve?
Yeah, I got quite a few. Actually, I had somebody come in Twitter me because I was one of my shows I had, like, where I switched hardware switcher. He goes, hey, just check out Steve Haywood's show. You covered like a new hardware switcher. Also, I noticed I think you also have some new sponsors. I think AJA, I believe.
Yeah, we got some new sponsors, but I think he's referring to this last Tuesday. So my co-host on Broadcast Now, the show that we talk all about broadcasting and how folks can get into the internet broadcasting scene, podcasting, that sort of thing. He had actually invented a hardware controller for software switchers like Wirecast and vMix and some of the other platforms that are out there, but it's universal. So it'll also work on any hardware switcher like the ATEM, but it looks like a TriCaster controller. So he has an Indiegogo up, and he's not because he's trying to make money on this, but he's trying to put it out to the users to get it at a really, really discounted rate because it's cheaper to buy things in bulk. So if he can offer it as an Indiegogo, you know, you could get it for $600-$700 as opposed to paying maybe $1,200-$1,500 for the actual unit, because the buttons on this thing cost like $15 a piece. So it's very, very pricey. And so you know, he just wanted to put it out there and help some of the internet broadcasters have a way to control devices like Wirecast. I know you use Wirecast with it. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Nice one.
Yeah, I think his website opened today, too. Supposedly, it's going to be up for sale, I think, on his website right now. Or
yeah, up on his Indiegogo. He has a website. You can follow him at NetNutMike on Twitter. And he has all that information. And I believe the software, if you don't want to purchase it, like the controller, you can actually take, I believe, a MIDI controller of some sort, and you can actually take his software. He's going to put it out for free, and you can program a MIDI controller to control your devices as well.
All right, Steve, can you tell me anything new that you've done with your studio? Of course, I know you got a new show. Anything else that's going on? Any changes or anything like that since last time?
Yes. Yeah. So what we've been doing, we were kind of just talking about the upgrades and things like that that have been going on with the show Broadcast Now that Mike was talking about. Well, one of the big things that I did in my studio is just recently, you guys know I use Wirecast, but then I also purchased a TriCaster 40. And then I did an upgrade to a 460, which then allows me to do SDI and have a higher quality, be able to basically send out the TV if need be. And one of the big things with that is SDI. Well, SDI is very expensive if you've ever looked into it. And you had asked about the new sponsor that I got, which was AJA Video Systems, where they make a lot of capture cards that you can use with Wirecast and other type devices. one of the things that I needed was mini converters to convert HDMI to HDSDI. And they're like, oh, we can help you with that. So I ended up, because these mini converters would have costed me close to $3,000 to $4,000 for the amount that I needed. So it was really, really cool for them to jump on board. And since I use some of their other devices, you know, it was just fitting. They make good products. And when I was out in California on business, I got to tour their facility and things like that. So very, very good company. So that's what I've been up to, just kind of rearranging the studio and things like that.
Good stuff. Jennifer, any questions for Steve?
Yes, I do, definitely. Steve, first, I've got to say I've been looking at the picture of your studio on your website, and it looks outstanding. It puts my little studio to shame, which isn't quite a studio. It's just a couple of computers and a mic. So I love it. And I want to know how you got your start in broadcasting. Were you involved with old media before coming over to the new media arena? Is that how you got your start?
No, believe it or not, I'm 100% self-taught. Everything that I've done in the studio, everything on the broadcasting side of things, just watching and studying different broadcasters, learning do's and don'ts. One of the big things that I started doing was live casting, just getting on camera and just helping people with computer problems, because I'm a geek at heart and I love fixing computers. And if I don't even know the answer, I was fortunate enough, I had some people around me that were able to answer those questions. So we'd just get on Skype, and just like we are now, but not in a podcast form, but just in a kind of like hanging out, like what people are doing with Google Hangouts these days. And we streamed it. And so people started coming in, but then they started saying, well, you need to make a set time and do an actual show. So you can get people to come in. And so that was all new to me, you know, trying to do something, but I wanted to be more like TV. I wanted to run an intro. I wanted to go to my ads. I wanted to come in, take 15-minute breaks or take a break every 15 minutes.
Right.
Just like you would on TV. And so I challenged myself to not do any editing and just go. I mean, anybody that watches, it's live to take, man. We don't go back and edit or anything. And one of the things that I wanted to be able to do is produce it myself and host it myself. Switch cameras, set the audio, do all that stuff. And so that's, I mean, it's 5 years, almost 6 years later, here I am, and still learning, always learning from different people. But that's pretty much how I got my start, just watching different broadcasters, learning, and making mistakes along the way.
Is there anyone that, sorry, Brad, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah, so I was going to say, but that's very cool.
I wonder, is there anyone who inspired you?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people, you know the man Leo Laporte.
Oh yeah,
he was a big inspiration, just because he's been in the business for so long. And I think anybody that says, "Oh, I can't look up to a guy like that," they're just lying, because the man's got a wealth of knowledge. Whether you agree with different points that he has or just who he is in general, the man is very talented on the mic. He knows how to use it. And also Kim Komando. I'm a big Kim Komando fan, and She's just really, really, really good. She's got very good production value, if you've ever watched any of the stuff that she does of her live radio show. And so different people like that, just watching. I mean, my wife will laugh, because I'll sit and watch CNN, not because I care about what they're saying, but I watch the production value of how they're switching cameras or how they're doing different things. And I study stuff like that. I'm as nerdy as they come, man. I mean, I'll watch a show and that's what I pick out, right?
Yeah. No, that's good. That is good. You want to perfect your talents there, and you're always learning. So that's fantastic. And yeah, I've always been a huge Leo fan since the old ZD TV days, and he's a great guy, and I've learned a lot from him as well. So glad that you listed him as one of the guys. So very cool. And then one more question. So what different shows do you have right now? So for the person that does not know anything about you, you're at thetechbuzz.net. And what shows do you guys put on?
Right. So we've had thetechbuzz.net, which has been what I've been known for the last almost 5-6 years. But it's still the Tech Buzz, but we've recently also rebranded, in a sense, called the TTB Network.
Oh.
So it's still founded on the Tech Buzz, but we call it the TTB Network. So we're branching out past technology, because I have I host the show Weekly Roundup, which is all about tech. We find, you know, the I guess what we find as the best tech news of the week, and we just roundtable it, just kind of like what you guys did earlier. And we talk about what our thoughts are, give our, you know, synopsis of it. And then I do a show called Broadcast Now, where we cover everything to do with broadcasting. We bring on industry professionals, other internet broadcasters. We've had guys on like Brian Brushwood and different people like that. Nice. We've had some guys from the Pixel Core because they're really heavy into broadcasting, just to basically give a platform for folks that are trying to get into this internet broadcasting and they think it's overwhelming, to give them an outlet to kind of learn and say, look, this is what we did and we made a mistake here. Don't do that, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to kind of document that as we go. And this is where we kind of branched out, where now I do a sports show. I don't host it. I just produce it. And the girl that hosts it, she's an All-American, and she's a third in the nation as far as shot put and discus. And she's been interviewing some of the biggest coaches in the United States, as well as some of the Olympians that are in that sport. Cool. And so she's trying to help other kids that are for a sport that's not really heavily recognized. And it's really a niche. And we've seen the numbers grow and grow every week with this. And so I'm Christy branching Woods? Out. Yes, that's Christy Woods.
Okay.
And I've just been branching out and trying, like we talked about that political show that we're trying to do, just trying to do something else as a network and not just strictly gearing everything toward tech. So that's where we came up with, well, the Tech Buzz name's already known, so let's just abbreviate it and call it the TTB network. So we're not saying it's tech. It's a, you know, it's founded on the Tech Buzz, but it's
yeah, TTB. Network. Yeah. That way it will encompass a lot of exactly. other different subjects and topics. Right.
Yep.
Clever
stuff. Okay. Paul, any questions for Steve? We need to wrap up very soon.
No, not such.
All right. Is that it? Steve, where can they get hold of you and stuff? And then I'm through on that.
You can find me, just the techbuzz.net or ttbn.tv. Either one will lead, and you can find everything about me there. We have a Roku channel, so if you want to watch it live on your TV in the
cool. room,
you can go download the TTBN TTB network application. Should be there.
I have to ask you, did you make that Roku app, or did you hire someone to do it? Or because I know it's free to go there and, you know, and create your own channels, and they teach you kind of, or they have that on their Roku.com website, which I think is so great. But
yeah, no, this is a legit app that we had to follow their guidelines to get it into the actual app store. It's not like a private channel or anything. So if mm-hmm. you go to their actual front on your Roku to get it, I have a buddy of mine that I hang out with and who has his own business with web design and things like that, where he makes Roku apps for folks. And so I was able to get a really good price on it. And basically, he does a lot of, just because I don't have the time, I've kind of hired him to kind of do upkeep on my website and things like that, which we're actually in the process of redoing the whole website, brand new from scratch. So we're hoping to launch that later this year. But yeah, he's really, really good. So he did the Roku app.
Cool. I'm going to check that out.
Okay, you can get me on Twitter at Brad Ozon. Quick, guys. Andrew, what's your final view of this show and stuff? And the power went out. That sucked big time.
Yeah, really good show. Thanks for being on, Steve. It's great to have you on and great to have a chat.
Yep.
And, you can grab me at zafo.com/@Andrew or on Facebook and Twitter, Cunning Drew.
Okay. Well, what about you, mate? We're going to get hold of you.
You can get me on YouTube, PKTV, PKR12 for Twitter and Google Plus.
Nice one. Okay, good one. Okay, Jennifer, what about you? Getting any with it?
Yeah, so people can find me at jenniferruggiero.com and check out my podcast at getnerdywithit.com. Also, techanarchy.com. Check that one out as well. So great show tonight. Thanks.
Thanks, Jennifer. And Steve, what about you?
Which one?
You.
Oh, me. You? Okay. I don't know. I don't know if it told Steve first. You can find me at chatterbox_live. And, of course, the live tech webcast version here on justin.tv/LinuxCoolDude.
All right, good stuff. And you also you're going to send me that audio file too,
yeah,
Steve.
Well,
yep. Okay.
We got to the very last minute without having a Steve mix up.
I did and also, my own mix up.
Also, shout out to MBC Foods, Andrew. They sent me some salt and a salt grinder this week.
Yeah, they did. MB Foods, very cool equipment. Have you set that up yet, Brad?
I have, mate. It looks, tastes great.
Oh, good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah. So MB Foods, salt grinder, all of your delicatessen needs.
That's it. MBC Foods, mate. Check it out. Vincent Brown. Shout out to him. And yeah,
you're making me hungry.
What, salt?
Oh, I thought you said sandwich. Sorry. This has been a crazy show,
guys. I appreciate it. Thanks, Steve, from the Tech Buzz. Thanks.
Thanks for having me.
No problem, mate.
Hi, Glenn from Aussie Tech Heads. Join Will, Eric, and myself as we bring you the latest, most up-to-date, important tech news that affects you from Australia and the world. A weekly podcast available each Friday through iTunes. Watch the live stream recording of the show at live.thesecrethub.com each Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. or GMT plus 10. Call in live via Skype or chat in our lounge. However you get us, just make sure you do. Listen or visit our website for more information, www.aussietechheads.com. com.au. Aussie Tech Heads, Australia's longest running tech news podcast.
Well, that's it for Tech Webcast this week. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed having your mind expanded. Tune in next week for more tech talk with Brad, Jason, and whatever crazy guests they've managed to rope in. Don't forget to get the Tech Webcast app from iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast, and of course, check us out on Facebook too. Until next time, may the tech be with you. Peace!